We're turning, please, to Ephesians chapter 6 and the first four verses. We didn't yet have our Bible reading, so we want to come to this section of God's Word. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. On this Father's Day, we turn the focus now upon dads. And I want you to see that children here are commanded to honor their mother and father. And I want to speak to you today about a dad who deserves that honor. You cannot expect a child to honor a father who lies, who cheats, who serves the devil, who acts the hypocrite, tells one thing in church, and then at home really acts as if he never knew God. And a child, of course, is very discerning, and we pray that our children will have that discernment, that they will not blindly follow a phony for a leader, but that they will be wise and understand those things that are good and true. And I think maybe after the hardest thing in the world, after being a single mum, is to be a dad who deserves the honor of sons and daughters. Now, it's relatively easy to be a hero to your children while they are small. When they are just young, and when you go out to work, they're crying at the door because dad has left. And when you arrive back, they're giggling because they just love dad so much. Then it's easy. But when they grow up and they become teenagers, they look around and begin to compare, and they see that there are really other dads in the world. And they begin to realize, well, maybe my dad's not the big hero that I once thought he was. And, of course, I don't think that there's any dad here that wants their child to be a blind follower of the blind. You want them to be discerning, to have wisdom, to know the difference between when you do right and when you do wrong. And for that, sometimes you may have to go and say sorry to them and apologize for a wrong example or a wrong word or a bad humor or something that is a bad example. And I think the final and the great test that we're all up to is what our children will say about us at our funerals. And I would like my children to be able to say that my dad was a wysiwig. What you saw is what you got. That's computer language, by the way. Wysiwig. And he is the real person. What he professed to be, he really was. Now, dads are imperfect, and there are times when we feel, but we must be true men, true to the great calling, that we be godly and walk after the Lord. And today, we will set our sights on this command that is given to parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And this is the dad who wants to be honored by his children. Because I taught you that way. I showed you the way to go. I lived the example of the young man or young woman we wanted you to be. And therefore, I sought to be a dad to be honored. Well, I have a few things to say about the dad that deserves to be honored. Firstly, if you would be honored as a dad, you must honor God. I think that's a given. But you must be a God-seeking man. In John 17:3, this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So this is what a godly man is, one who is seeking God with all his heart and with all his mind. Now, in a way, we can say as fathers, God found me. It's a bit like Abram when the God of glory appeared to him, or Moses when God appeared to him. God found them. And in your testimony, you can say, it wasn't just that I was a researcher, a student, or applied my mind to some pursuit, but rather God found me and revealed himself to me, and I know the living God, and I follow and worship him. Now, nature may teach us that God exists, but what does nature teach you about God's name? What does nature teach you about God's nature himself, his attributes, his perfections? What does nature teach you about the things that God likes or the things that God does not like? We can't know the mind of God merely in creation, but we are to seek him in the way that he has revealed himself. And that means that you will be not only a God-seeking man, but you will be a Bible-searching man. A man who searches for God within his word. Your Bible is really your communication center for the Christian life. It is the information hub for faith and for understanding the true God. And to rule your children by the Bible, you must firstly have the Bible rule you. You need to be a man of the book and given to following its directives and its command. It must really be the staff of life to you, that you feed your soul on God's word, and then you will be that man who follows the Lord. So you will be a God-seeking man, a Bible-searching man, but also a God-fearing man. And there is a little difference between one who has God in his head and God in his heart. Because if you have the Lord in your heart, you will tremble that you have his disapproval, that you should err and go astray and miss the blessing of God. And that's really what godly fear is. It's the fear of missing the blessing of God. And if you're a God-fearing man, you will want to only do those things that God approves, and God will smile upon you when you do them. You will fear getting out of his will, fear of making a wrong decision, of going a wrong direction, fear of walking, and if your child was to follow in your footsteps, that if they were to follow you in that direction, that you would be leading your children astray. That's godly fear. Or indeed the fear of coming under God's chastisement. The Bible teaches us very clearly that the Father chastiseth every son whom he loveth. And if you're a child of God and you go astray, God will chastise you. God will bring you under the rod for a time that you may learn your error and bring you back. And a God-fearing man will be careful that you do not come under that wrath. And then you will be a father that will be honored. I read a story of a little boy who had his first ever, best ever sermon. And it's about a farmer who had a fine crop of grain. And it was getting close to the harvest time. And of course, there would be great excitement of seeing that harvest brought in. But before the harvest day, there was a storm that passed through and just wrecked the whole crop of the field. The little boy stood with his father on the porch, looking over that field that was destroyed. And the boy had tears in his eyes. And he looked up into his father's eyes, and he heard him singing or humming, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And that father's composure and trust in God was the best ever sermon that that boy ever received, and may have been the turning point in his life. And so, Father, you are to be a God-fearing man, and one that will put that fear of the Lord into practice in every situation in life, in the good times and in the tough times. Now, I move on to the second point, and that is, if you would be honored as a father, then you need to honor your wife, who is the mother of your children. And I jump to this because it's right here in the passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And children are to obey father and mother. And needless to say, it's going to be a very big problem if your dad is despising your mom. And if your dad is looking down at your mom and treating her as unworthy of love and care and obedience, well, it's going to cause confusion and problems in the home. And when a child sees a father despise his mother and put down his mother with a cold, hard, bitter spirit, it's going to be very difficult for that child to honor either its mother or, in days to come, to honor that father as well. Either he will take one side or the other, or before long he will really see through the hardness and see that that mother is the one to defend and care for. And how then will you have the honor of that son? So it's not difficult to realize that father and mother are into parenting together. Here in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And in the book of Proverbs we are told, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And so the happiest home is going to be where husband and wife are locked together in love, in wisdom, and in the joy of raising their children for the Lord. And the godly man, the man that is to be honored by his children, will be the man who displays his love for his wife and honors her and builds her up in the home. And I want to say to men here today, men, take the leadership in this. Be the one who steps out in this manner to do all you can to demonstrate in your home and before your family that you love your wife, you respect her, and that you'll stand up for her. And perhaps that's the very best testimony that you can give, because I assure you, teenagers will test their mom. They will test their mom's willpower. They will test their mom's stamina and even their wisdom. And I know that children can become mockers of their children. And that's when dad needs to be firm. And dad needs to stand up and say, don't you ever dare mock your mother in my presence or in this home. This becomes a father that in the long term will earn the respect and the honor of his children. And that is true love in action. That is really agape love, sacrificial love, where you are ready to serve and to stand up for your wife. And children, if your dad is serving the Lord, and your dad is the leader in your home, and he's honoring your mother, you honor him. That's God's will. And that's going to be God's blessing upon you as you seek to stand up for the Lord in your life as well. Number three now, if you would be honored, honor your own father. Now this is the great gift of the heritage that God gives. God gives children, parents, grandparents, and even great-grandparents. And what a wonderful privilege it is to have such a heritage. And that honor should flow down from father figure to father figure in your family circle. But I assure you that your children are going to watch and listen to how you honor your dad. Dare I tell you again the story of the wooden bowl, of the home where the aged father, because he had no teeth and he was a messy eater and he was no longer the center of attention in the home, they placed him away in the corner to eat out of a wooden bowl. One day, the boy was found in the woodshed carving something. And the father asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Dad, I'm carving a wooden bowl for you when you're old." He was just following example of what his father was doing to his father. Back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 19, it says, "He that wasteth," and the word means oppresses his father, "and chaseth away his mother, is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." And then again in the Proverbs it says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lump shall be put out in obscure darkness." God honors them that honor their parents. And that's for life. That's for life. And the Christian heritage is learned by example as well as by precept. And if you love the Lord and love His Word and you love your children, then, Dad, you will show that example by honoring your father as much as lies within you as a Christian to do. I have not had a father to honor beyond my 17th year, but I can speak well of him. And even, I probably more lately than ever, I will refer to things that my dad said and things that my dad did. In fact, I quoted one of them this week. "A job well started is a job half done." That was my dad's adage. "A job well started is a job well done." And we can speak well of our parents even when they're deceased. And I trust that dads here will honor their dads. Number four, if you would be honored as a father, honor God in your worship. Now, there are some things that just go together like twins. Police and law. Those two things are given. You can't have a law without a policeman. You can't have a policeman without law. Firemen and drills. They go together. Soldiers and loyalty. They go together. What kind of a soldier would you have if you're not sure what direction he's going to shoot when the battle starts? Loyalty is being part of a soldier. Athletes and discipline. They are passionate about training for that great event. Without one, you don't get the other. And I say that if you're going to be a godly father, you will honor God in your worship. Those two things will and always go together. Now, one particular Bible text comes to mind. It's 1 Timothy. I'll have you turn to it, please. 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5. And this shows you how the two are so closely related. It's really the definition or the criteria of a father who is serving in the Lord's church. "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection and gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Can you see how the two things go together? Being a godly father and being a worshiper or serving God within his church. And this applies to the one who is counted as a strong Christian in church life. Frequent at public worship, willing, serving, standing up for the Lord, a man of prayer, and a man of leadership. Now, the flip side of this, you can't do that in the Lord's church if you're not honoring God in your home. And the other side is, if you are not honoring God in your home, can you really come to church and honor God here? Those two things, they are inseparable. And if you want your children to honor you as a Christian father, and you come to church to worship, and you sing as a Christian, you pray as a Christian, you talk about the sermons as a Christian, and you go home and live a worldly, carnal, ungodly life, your children will mock you. They may even one day curse you, because I assure you, a young person can smell a hypocrite a mile away. And this is one of the greatest challenges to Christian fathers, is to live what you profess and practice what you preach. And that's the call of the Christian father. A father was one day teaching his little boy what manner was a Christian is. When the lesson was finished, the father had probably one of the most cutting questions that was ever given to a father. "Dad, have we ever seen a Christian?" That was the boy's question. Now you apply that to your home. Would your child have to ask that question? You go to church, you hear about the gospel and being converted and becoming Christians. Would your children have to ask you, "Have we ever seen a Christian?" They should see Christ in you every day and in all that you do. And all of these things add up to a father whom a son or daughter will give honor. Now, even should your son or daughter reject the gospel, and it happens, sadly, there are young people that grow up in the church and they grow up in a Christian home, and they fall into the love of this world, and they reject the God of their father and mother. They reject the gospel they heard at church. But we must be that father that our even unsaved children will honor. And with all our warts and pimples and shortcomings, that they will have to say, "What you saw is what you got. My dad held to his convictions to his dying day." Has your son or daughter seen a Christian? Or do they have to look elsewhere? The last point is this. If you would be honored as a father, you must honor the souls of your children. Now, and this may be the last point of the message today, but perhaps it's the most important of all. How do you value the soul of your child? And by the way, that's what the word honor means. Honor means to value. A child that honors his father or mother will value them. They will appreciate them for what they are. But you must appreciate the value of your child's soul. You must realize that the soul is of more value even than of the body. Now, when I think of what parents do for their child's physical welfare, for their bodies, from the very day that they're born, immediately they get a health card and a SIN number, and they get all the health care that is required as infants. And then they're fed and nurtured until they can begin to feed themselves. And then through all their schooling years, and I was trying to calculate that, I had done my math a little on the low side. I put in 10 to 15 years. Well, in reality, it's more like 15 to 20 years. And we support our children, and we pay their school fees, and we support them all the way till they get that degree or they get that career that they're looking for, and we support them all the way that they might be able to provide for themselves in this world. We see them through training and even into marriage, and we take an interest in all of that, all their days. And yet we are reminded that they have something even more valuable than a body. They have a soul that needs to be saved. What about their soul's welfare? Are you attending to that? Do you have the right evaluation upon the soul of your son or your daughter? You're the father. You brought them into this world. They are of your blood and flesh, but they were also created with a soul. A soul that's going to live for all eternity. And that, if you really value the soul of your child, will determine how you raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You will, of course, take your son and daughter to church. You will take them to Sunday school. And might I add, bring them on time. You will also keep the Lord's Day because you value your child's soul. God has given us 6 days for the body. Indeed, the seventh day is really for the body as well, in the sense that it's a day of rest for the body, but it's also a day for the soul. Keep the Lord's day. Help them to learn Christian things. How good it was to see the boys and girls reciting the catechisms and the verses today. And we learn something. Peer pressure works. Get the guys to ask the girls all the questions, and they answer them. And then later the guys did it to the guys again. They answer them. But young people need encouragement to learn godly things. I was reminded, in fact, maybe I thought on this for the very first time. Everything we do in life, we learn. We have to learn it. Driving a car, kicking a soccer ball, blowing a trumpet, playing a piano. Everything we do in life, we learn. And it's no different in spiritual things. We learn. We need the hard work, the discipline of learning. You just don't become a pianist by plucking at the keys once in a while. And your son or daughter is not going to be equipped in the gospel by being haphazard about spiritual things and their spiritual training. The Bible says also that you're to train them up in the way in which they should go. What about bringing your children to the prayer meeting? I tremble to think that there may be children that have never, ever been in a prayer meeting. That almost seems sad, doesn't it? That my son or daughter could possibly go to church, grow up, and never experience what it's like to be in a prayer meeting. You need to bring your child alongside with you. You need to be an example to them with the saints of God and in the place of worship and praise. And one day, I don't expect too much of it while they're young, but one day they will rise up to call you blessed and thank God for the discipline, the repeated and the consistent example and training you gave to them along the way. And one day they will rise up to honor you as a godly father, one that led them and guided them. There's a story of a tour guide and tour group that were in the Swiss Alps. They were scientists and they were looking at, well, they were interested in botany. They were looking at the plants and the flowers and so on. And they were right up on this high mountain looking over a cliff down into a valley. And they saw this very rare plant. And they couldn't fully diagnose it or analyze it at a distance, even with their field glasses. And they decided, we need to get down there and inspect that. And so they looked down, they looked at their gear and their ropes, and they weren't very well equipped. And most of them were big, heavy people that they couldn't send down. And so they looked around, and there was a little boy, just a little light fellow. And they said to him, we'll give you a good reward if you will get on this rope and go down that cliff and get that plant and bring it back to us. And the boy thought about it. And he hemmed and he hawed and thought about it. And he hemmed and he hawed and he thought about it. And then he just took off. And they thought that was the end of him. But he did come back and he brought with him a big, burly Swiss mountaineer. And he spoke up in good clear voice and he said to them, hey guys, this is the deal. I'll go down the rope and I'll get the plant for you, but my dad will hold the rope. He wanted to be sure that he could trust the right person as he risked his life to go down and get that plant. And dads, our children are in our hands. And in various ways we hold the rope. And we're going to be steering not only their physical life, but their spiritual life. And we will be accountable one day before God for their souls. We need to be dads who are trustworthy to hold the rope and to be a guide and a blessing to them all their days. Now let me ask you the very obvious question. Are you a lifeline of example for the spiritual well-being of your child or daughter, son or daughter? Can you answer that before God today? If the answer is yes, we rejoice together. If the answer is no, then I exhort you, let this be the day when you become that spiritual leader in your home, that father figure that your children deserve and need. And I also assure you, these years, you never get back. You never get them back. Today, is the day to step up and be that father you need to be for God and for your family. And then, one day there'll be a Father's Day in heaven, a day of reunion with fathers and sons. What a glorious day that will be.